We gather in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. To some extent, I think it is the favorite pastime of, well, just about everyone, to complain about the next generation. When I was growing up, it was probably our grunge music and our long hair or something, I don't know, I didn't care. But now that I'm older, I hear it all the time. Kids these days, they lack interpersonal skills. They feel entitled. They have no work ethic. Of course, no one ever mentions that they have way better technical skills than their parents. And they tend to value inclusivity and diversity way more than their elders do, despite the fact that we left them a society and a planet that are not exactly in the best shape. We much prefer to focus on the negatives, even if we have to invent them. You kids, get off my lawn. That's the tone I hear in Jesus's complaint this morning. To what can I compare this stubborn generation? They're like children who don't even follow the rules of their own games. They play wedding music and no one dances. They stage a mock funeral and no one cries. John the Baptist came to them and they called him a demon because he was kind of boring. Jesus showed up being way cooler than John and they just made fun of me. No matter who God sends, it seems no one listens to a prophet. No one wants to be told how to act. And so it sounds to me like Jesus is just one bad day away from taking his ball and going home, telling the people to stuff it if they won't pay attention. And indeed, the verses that got cut out of today's gospel, to protect your sensitive ears, I think, are Jesus proclaiming judgment on the cities where he had been, where the people wouldn't repent. Yet even after all of that, Jesus could still offer up a prayer of thanksgiving. In an abrupt turn, he rests in his Father's will. And that will was that the gospel message would not be understood through books or human prowess, but the same way that an infant gets to know its caretaker, by living together, by listening to their voice, by watching, by imitating behavior. That's the offer of discipleship being made here. That Jesus has revealed God to us, and it is our choice whether we want to follow that God or follow some other God that we've made up in our minds. The God that Jesus pointed us to is the one who cares more for the weary than the wealthy, more for the burdened than the big shot. I never thought I would quote Karl Barth from this pulpit. Never. But he wrote in 1955 this, and he was no liberal, my friend. God always stands unconditionally and passionately on this side and this side alone, against the lofty and on behalf of the lowly, against those who already enjoy right and privilege, and on behalf of those who are denied and deprived of it. With that in the background, it's really hard not to reflect on both the history of this nation and where we are now. The many times we have failed, as well as the many times we've come together and done what was right and just and merciful. But discipleship is hard work, and we broken human beings are never going to get it right every time. Paul made that abundantly clear this morning. Now hear me, that is not an excuse, but it absolutely is a reason. To be blunt, if you think you can go out and earn your salvation on your own merit, then you really have no need of Jesus, and he will gladly leave you alone if you want. But when you realize that you don't deserve it, that you can't deserve it, then his arms are stretched as wide as they can be. Take the yoke, accept the mercy, rest in your Savior. I'm going to close with a prayer, and probably because it's my favorite one ever written. Thomas Merton wrote it. Merton was a Roman Catholic monk and mystic who lived in the mid part of the 20th century. And because today it is also my prayer for this country, I've taken the liberty of changing it into the plural. My Lord God, we have no idea where we are going. We do not see the road ahead of us. We cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do we really know ourselves. And the fact that we think we are following your will does not mean that we are actually doing so. But we believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And we hope that we have that desire in all that we are doing. We hope that we will never do anything apart from that desire. And we know that if we do this, you will lead us by the right road, though we may know nothing about it. Therefore, will we trust you always, though we may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, we will not fear, for you are ever with us, and you will never leave us to face our perils alone.